This is Pierre's number two question.
Very good.
Provided in the following pages are pictures of God as reproduced from the ABCs of the Bible Reader's Digest. This is somewhat confusing to me. First, that anyone should have seen God while in the physical, and two, that God is human and not a shaft of magnetic light as you describe God to be.
Well, both of them are ridiculous.
Since it is mentioned somewhere in Pleiades Connection series that Aton is too subject to the laws of creation, and elsewhere that the highest form in all the cosmos is the human, then is it reasonable to conclude from this that these pictures are accurate? What do we visualize in meditation? The light of God or Aton himself in full human garb? Were you joking when you said God plays golf?
Yes, and he's very good. Even Arnold Palmer won't take him on. Don't distance yourself from God. That's your problem. You want to visualize something, go look in the confounded mirror, and if you don't like what you see, then you better start shaping it up. Don't worry about visualizing God. God is all around you. He is the tree, the flower, the very air you breathe. Ones have magnificent visions of him as suits them. Great artists try to put this wondrous vision to print. Ones want to make this being into their most respected relative, perhaps grandfather. That's why, you see, it was easier to talk to grandfather for the Indians. Because grandfather usually represents someone mellowed by age, a little softer than daddy, but with all the perfection that a child feels for his father when there's great respect there. And he represents by his laws discipline. I mean, after all, the child has been threatened with hellfire and brimstone if you break those rules. And then the adult goes right forth and votes out those rules so that everything is acceptable, and then you wonder why your children are confused and give you trouble. Well, you're confused, that's why. And they read your confusion probably long before they can speak words to you. They know. And most babies have you under control before they can talk or walk. And gradually, they get you trained to meet their needs. Then comes the period of time where you don't ante. And so they have to do all of their tricks to make you ante. All the while you're struggling and searching and going nuts, bonkers, trying to figure out how to discipline them. So you have a going battle. The last thing you need to do is try to visualize God. Whatever lights your heart is what God is. He will project to you in any form you need. Very frequently we as higher energies, and yet serving a need or a purpose in making our contacts, will contact in a way that we feel is suitable and more easily acceptable to you as you are awakening or you are consciously experiencing that which you know somewhat at any level. Maybe you know you're working all night long, but it's time now, this day, to begin to think about making a conscious encounter. And I can tell the one on myself and Dorma. We go back a long, long way. And that was just shared with me before the meeting comes, that one's in here, Nora mainly, is doing some research back when Aton was called Aton. And one's coming forth, such as Akhenaten, to experience and try to do then what we're trying to do now. And we go back to those rememberings because they are within your written history, and you can look into a journal and find something that gives you confirmation and not just say Valorian experience with Athena, goddess of the peanut field. You have to put logical reason to everything you do because you are experiencing an illusion which is the projected thought of God. And the reason that he's going to give you some specific things is because he has projected you as his thought. And therefore he will project you into his thought as he chooses to do so. And you will receive any way he chooses for you to receive. Now, to make these progressions a little bit easier, we come along and we think, well, I'm going to make contact now, and that one is going to be shocked in the beginning, because for years now, I've had this one doing something else. She didn't even know she was being prepared. And suddenly, here's going to come a 10-foot-tall space creature to her bedside and say, well, how are you today? I should have trusted her. But I was monitoring along, and I recognized that she was being extremely distressed over this pulling of memory. And as we had to come into some working relationship, I presented to her, and it was just fine. I presented as I had been described. You will find that even in Tuita's writings of the conclave, Hatton gets the most descriptions of anybody. And it never seems to occur to ones why that might be. I have been described as short, stocky, and dark. I have been described as rather tall, blonde, and blue-eyed. I have been described without hair and with hair. And so I thought the one that she had most clung to was the one blue-eyed and blonde-haired. So I came, you know, I was handsome. My gosh, I looked like George Peppard, the A-Team. And she accepted that, sort of. I mean, she put me through my paces. Who are you? What are you here for? All of this. And it got to be tit for tat. And finally, I would have to take her aboard ship to make our meetings, because I needed to experience on your place in that density in my own form to become familiar with this interchange here. And so I would come into her space. But then we were so troubled. You were about to blow up your world, and there were some very high-level meetings going on, and I had to be in attendance. And so I would take her aboard ship, where she was totally at home. She knew everybody aboard. And like all of you women do, I mean, you know, these commanders off titter, titter, titter about everything. Well, then when it got time for me to experience more on the earth plane, she was upset with me. And on two occasions, she refused to return to the earth plane, period. It was too much, and she thought it was bad then. Second time, I told her, okay, you don't have to go, but you just flunked. Just don't worry about any of those people down there. You made a commitment, but if you cannot handle it anymore, I understand. and you certainly don't have to go back. Well, you know what that does. So don't underestimate God. When you think he won't lay a guilt trip on you, forget it. We studied with the Jewish mothers. And so we got through that one until the very next session. And this time was incredibly crucial. I had had to call a meeting. Then I was unable to attend. I was presiding at the Cosmic Council, as a matter of fact. And things were not going well. And we were interchanging, as a matter of fact, with a council meeting in your Yellowstone Park or the Grand Tetons. And I was in and out. And so I had to transport her to the craft where we were holding the meetings and where she could watch the floor through the transparency. And I was caught. So when I met her in what we would call the waiting room or the sitting room, she was absolute blind fury. Let this be a lesson to anyone. Truth will always serve your purpose. She said, I resent it. I am pained that you would do this to me. Did you think me so incapable that I would not know who you are? And, of course, I make my flimsy male excuses by saying, well, but in this role I wasn't sure you would. How do you forget, is what I'm told. And did you think that I would not remember you as 10 feet tall and needed some earthly expression? I almost lost a receiver and scribe. I share this with you because I want you to remember it. Truth suffices in all instances. It can be buffered. I could have stood behind the curtain and said, now, sweetheart, try to remember how it was. And she would have. But my perception was that it would have been frightening. Now she's had to confront something else. She can also remember her own creation. And this was experienced again as a reminder within the last 4 years, closer to three. And the only thing that she can really remember about it is this hand that came around and took her out of the vapors or out of the mist and the incredibleness of it. And you see, it only had 4 fingers on its hand. And it was a very long hand, and it was a very alien hand, and a very strong hand that she tried searching through the books. You talk about this one looking for God in someone else's vision. All she could find was the hand of God reaching out and touching, and yet it wasn't quite right either. So you ones are in for some interesting surprises, but you have to look around you and know that many of you are directly from Pleiades. You have been attended and tempered so that you fit. So what I offered was not a lie. It was simply one of my presentations. And you ones don't really need physical presentations. You just think you do. And when you start trying to limit God and put guidelines on what you are receiving, oh, you miss the beauty of it. As you look out from time to time, as you're sitting, many of you will experience it right in this room as we're sitting here, or you'll be out on your patio, anywhere. And you will see little sparkly things flying by. And you can't catch them again. and you wonder what they are, and you query me. And up through these years, I will be queried about things. And I'm not talking about little probes that travel, that literally you see. I'm talking about little sparkles of light that just shoot, little fragments. You have to understand that these are the fragments coming now from the photon belt. They're picking up light. They are light. And they will lose their refraction. They will only be visible, and they will usually be visible in the periphery of your eye or your vision pattern. And you will just, they're so rapid that you cannot focus. There's no way. But to you who think sometimes your eyes are giving you stars, for instance, know that you are beginning to see those photons interchanging. It's a delightful time, precious ones. It is an incredible time to be alive, to experience. Let's make the most of it. Let's not be downhearted about anything that happens, regardless of how it appears to you. It's part of the picture. It's either your testing or your graduation for having passed the test. Don't label negative things onto things that happen to you. You can only grow from them, or you can give up. You cannot have a team walking through the most incredible time, reaching out your hand to your brother to help him along when you're not the best there is. And that is a responsibility to live up to. And you take God within any way you can get him and recognize him. Let's have another one.
Number 3 from Pierre. About the only sacred cow you haven't strangled is the history of the NASA, the moon landings, and our current behind-the-scenes look at this organization. Aside from comments about the recent slime mold stuff. Nor have you ever mentioned who is behind the blame it on the alien scenario the elite are planning. Can we have names and addresses, please?
What would you do with them if you had them? Go out and get yourself shot. I mean, he doesn't realize you're down here in the heartland of NASA, whether you know it or not. I wonder how many in this room even know that right over at the glider port, our precious Larry Barrett trains all those astronauts. He has a NASA contract, and he trains all of them to glide those shuttles in from Australia. Little did he understand that that's where they start. But that's okay. You're in NASA land. They just call it something else. And I'm not going to get into all of this, but I have to remind Pierre, he's got to go back and read, because I most certainly have. I have gone in depth into your early space program. In depth. And exactly what happened. And how many of those shuttles you have forfeited, sacrificed, and how you were lied to, how pictures were made and presented to you that were not valid in any way whatsoever. And they still are doing it to this day. To this day. To this moment. They are launching almost continually. They are still launching on an average of one a day from Vandenberg, those Titan missiles. There are just some things it's better that I not share with you early on. We'll get around to ripping them. We're going to rip everybody. I worked on Pat Robertson all morning. That man that appears to be an evangelist, a godly man, has a 700 club. Have you ever realized what a small, tiny world it is? Let me share just a little interesting sideline. Before Dorma and Oberle moved to this community, they lived in a place called La Crescenta, which is north of Glendale in La Cunata in the foothills outside L.A. They had a phone number that was only one digit, the final digit, off from Pat Robertson's 700 Club. And every morning, the phone would ring incessantly with ones wanting to make a donation. Little did Dorma know that this morning she would, you know, one day she would have to write the truth about Pat Robertson. He is fully integrated, totally in service to Israeli Mossad. The Israelis furnished the money, caused him to make the bid for United Press International. It is the last link to any kind of free information in the world. They had already taken control, basically, of the press in South Central America, and now this will finish the world. They are the ones who set up the scam, the deceit, and planted the stories along with British intelligence on Flight 103, blamed it on Libyans, so they could bring down Libya. This is directly proven, integrated with Israeli Mossad. And I've written about it. It's a nasty subject. It's a miserable subject. But we have to put it in the Liberator, don't we? If you're going to have liberty, you're going to have to accept the bad news too. I don't know how you shut it down. Obviously, it was meant deliberately. And I don't know if there will be enough pull by the Israeli lobby to insist that that bid be honored. But if so, it will be the end of any free press in your world. Let's have another question. I'm not going to go farther into NASA now.
Number four, Moongate. By Brian Inglis. Do you stand by this information and comments?
I have no comment. I have not even investigated. I don't know about it. I stand by this. You had already moon bases, and the Russians, the Soviets took them out. The Soviets and Space Command were on the moon when you got there. And you were told never to go there again. I don't know what's in the book. I don't even want to take time to scan it now.
Number five. When can the East Coast expect some action? I feel left out.
Right after the West Coast.
Any major plans for Canadian cities? I can't imagine the elite would want to do away with truly beautiful cities such as Montreal, Melbourne, Australia, or Seattle, Tacoma.
It is hard to believe. And I would prefer simply to do away with the people in them. But they'll take it any way they can get it. You're not dealing with anything that's reasonable. So don't consider that for one moment. They hope you will consider that and close your eyes. They will forfeit and sacrifice anything required. They do not see a city as beautiful. They see a city as a commodity that either gives them a pain in the neck that they must subdue or a value monetarily. They have no appreciation for beauty of anything. Even in the art world, it is simply a thing to possess. A wonderful painting is simply something to possess. That doesn't mean that they don't think that perhaps this is beautiful and that is ugly. It is that they think of all of these things in terms of possession, including people.
Two more questions, not from Pierre. Number one, when we enter the photon belt, will information on magnetic tape disappear?
It shouldn't. You should have a close down of all electrical frequencies first, unless you have electromagnetic equipment of some kind that would be a typical erasure type of substance or device nearby. You shouldn't, if that's all you're doing, you should not lose it. If you want to take better security, it's better to lock these things into metal containers that might reflect, for instance, pulsed beams, microwaves. You are dealing with X-ray. We have to get a little closer. With all the information that we have, I sincerely hope that we don't. You see, when we are in a craft and we create this kind of null activity, your electrical system stops, ours does not. We have a different kind of thrust system. And we operate differently. We have learned to work and utilize that very null time. But I don't think that we will lose everything. If you do, I will tell you, it will be a thrust from Earthman that does it. And he has capabilities now of doing such things. Keep your backups, keep them separate, and keep pretty current with those backup systems.
Number two, will we need a gold testing machine? If so, which one?
Depends on what you're going to do. Most of you, I think that your only worthy recourse is to probably buy jeweler's gold, yes, and that wouldn't need testing. If you are purchasing coins, you should get them from a reputable place. If not, I suppose you would need to test them yourself. There are all sorts of devices around to do that. When you start trading them, however, most of them will be traded as currency, not currency, but as coin or weight of gold. If there's any reason to doubt it, you're going to find the ones who take that in are going to insist upon an assay of it, at which point they will have their own equipment. But there are gold testing instruments around. And other than that, I don't know what the intent of the question might be.
That's the end of the questions.
Well, why don't we share some nastiness? We need a little experience with reading anyway. What we really need experience is seeing through eyelids. You see, first I have to wake her up. You once think she works, don't you? Forget it. But that got her eyes open. Now, to share this comes from my old friend Alicia and Dawn. This one just is so gracious to us that I hardly know how to express my appreciation. The name is Don Barnaby from Sedona, Arizona. We certainly do give him great pains because he is a speaker and he has his groups, and my goodness, he certainly does disagree with what I teach. And he starts right off the bat without even dear friend or anything. He starts quoting me. Number one, if you are God, you have nothing to fear. This from Hatton, page 7, April 21st, 92, Phoenix Liberator. Next, quote, if you aren't scared, then you are dead. Hatton, page 6, April 21st, 92, Phoenix Liberator. And I say, Bright Dawn, if you don't know the difference in fear and scared, then I can't help you anyway. Which is it, Hatton? Or are we all supposed to be as crazy and double-thinking as you? How the Intergalactic Federation Fleet chose you to be the Commander-in-Chief of the Earth Project Transition of the Pleiades Sector Flight Command is beyond understanding. Someone who has as volatile and incontinent a mouth, mind, and temperament as you. Boy, if you think there are problems here on Earth, what perfect insanity is demonstrated at the galactic command levels, as shown by your lack of divine balance and equilibrium. Have you ever tried to get your astral and mental bodies under control, much less your spiritual purpose and destiny, mission in focus? Fortunately, there are levels and dimensions far beyond you and your limited understanding. Otherwise, the universe of greater communion of being would be self-destruct. Of course, you will never acknowledge your degree of limitation, not until some future humiliation, perhaps, and or cosmic initiation, and even incompetence, as indeed with arrogance, ignorance, as that's a slash. Arrogance, ignorance is the same word he's got. You mix half-truths with lies. You distract and redefine. You exaggerate and pontificate. You mix writing, It's very difficult for anyone to read, especially when the eyelids close again, Dorma. Okay, we'll try again. You mix right-wing reactionary ideologies in your brew, such as Holocaust revisionism, anti-gay and feminist stances. Anyone getting any ideas yet about where this man comes from? Oh, Hatton, shame. If you could only get your act together and truly begin to use discernment and divine detachment from your own ego states, you could perform a genuine and lasting service for this child humanity. As it stands now, you tend to speak in gibberish and hogwash with just a few nuggets of half-truth and higher principle thrown in. I used your own quotes to demonstrate this. You speak double talk. If you are of God, you have nothing to fear. If you aren't scared, then you are dead. And I suppose black is white, good is evil, up is down, freedom is slavery, etc., etc. At least I, this reader, have read George Orwell and am not amused at your totalitarian tactics. It's fun to scare people, isn't it, Hatton? Actually, no, it is not. You really get off on it, don't you? No, I really don't. You don't need sex for your jollies. You get your orgasm dominating and intimidating others. Are you not one of the reptilian order remnants of past cosmic ages who resents that a new universal order is coming and you will no longer be able to feed off the ignorance and fear and false worship of lesser entities? You are a snob, my friend, and your air of Hottian and superciliousness comes through in most all of your rantings and prattlings. You could be performing a most valuable or invaluable service by exposing the dark to light on this planet in strong, straightforward, and intelligible, unembellished manner. Instead, you choose to mix your own darkness and prejudices. As it is, so be it. Instead of fear, give us vision. Instead of hyperbole, truth. Instead of arrogance, sweet humility. Instead of commander hate on, you constantly state that Hatton is pronounced Aton, and then you refer to Aton as ultimate God. Well, spell it that way, dum-dum. I can't read this word, but instead of Hatton, I should call myself love-in or love-on or something. I can't read it. I've called your bluff, sir. Sire. Oh, I'm sorry. He was giving me more importance than I realized. I speak to the time spirit and true spirit within, the divine child and feminine principle you have frozen out and try to escape from. Oh, requester, love in. I see now what he is doing. Requester must be some important term. Requester love in is my name. All right. Don't raise such a ruckus. Don't take yourself so overly serious. You are but a blip in the universe, consciousness, as we all are. Ever fresh and ever new, I am God, and so are you. There we have it. You started this letter with your negative paradox, fear versus no fear, and I conclude it with my positive paradox of being both a blip and God at the same time. If you choose not to understand me, then I surely will not condescend. And are you not always condescending to your readers to attempt to understand you? Elysian Dawn, champion of the One, pioneer of the Real, inspiration of Infinite, way shower to beyond, child of love, way of eternal, ne plus ultra. Okay. P.S. As further demonstration of your unacquaintance with higher realities and dimensions, you continuously refer to the Phoenix Liberator as the Word. Oh, I hope I don't make that error. It is only a source and a carrier of the Word. Those are but words, man. Open to interpretation and error, as are all limiting three-dimensional expressions. The term, maybe, word, name, shield, sound current, music of spheres, logos, voice of the silence, or audible life stream, is unspoken, to be discerned at subtler inner levels, and is the term word. Well, something. Not the derivative so-called scriptures and rantings of mankind including yours. The higher word or logos does instead connect us with the higher planes and is on, I don't know. Anyway, I guess your way to contact with the over-self, God. There's quite a long PS in all directions here. So be it. At the same time came one of the sweetest and the most beautiful, and it reminds me of my little Ryan, Elizabeth's little Ryan. This one is 8 years old, and I'm touched. He has spaceships in his garage. This is one of the Inns children, E-N-Z, Chalon, Andrew. And he sends me a letter, and he says, "Dear Commander Hatton, every word of it, I wish you would look at it, you ones. As is typical of these seven children, the Inses have seven children, and we have shared this with you before, from the 16 and the 14-year-olds, and this is the 8-year-old. I am Chalon Andrew Inns, and I'm 8 years old. I made this picture just for you. You can come and visit us anytime. Your ship and crew are always welcome at our house. Thank you for helping us get ready for the times ahead. Thank you for helping us to walk in the light. I don't like the dark. With love, Chalon Andrew Inns. Dear Commander, you can park in our garage anytime." I choose to use his input. Now let's see. For you precious ones who did what I asked you to do, and you wrote to a very pained and troubled being, Robert Martyr, I can only apologize to you, tell you that you have made great strides in what you needed to do in this instance. This man was being badly abused within the system, and you ones must begin to curb those things. The man is mentally ill, at least deranged. And many, many, many ones responded to my request and wrote to him, only to receive back incredible abuse. There was a fine newspaper that was going out regularly. They almost had to close their doors and their presses. In fact, did have to restructure their business, and they changed the label of the publication at the same time. So I'm not going to get sidetracked by going into all the whys and wherefores of that. But they allowed this man to begin to run his advertisements. And they were crude, they were cruel, they were vulgar. But everyone has a right to speak out. And in his speaking out, he caused a great deal of ire to be raised, and they came down hard on him. Well, ones in a mental institution should be trained, just like your police department, to serve the people. And if you have a sick being, you do not beat up on that child. You are hired to take care of them, regardless of what they do or what they be. If you cannot handle that load and that responsibility, and the politicians do not ensure that that be done, then you need to be elsewhere, and it needs to be brought to the attention of the community. But this has gone on now for weeks and weeks and weeks, and each time one of these papers comes, it is even more filled. Instead of one ad or two ads, there will be five ads or six ads. And other ones have got into the act, and they want their own particular case exposed. The ones in there with him.
Commander?
Yes.
We need to change the tape, please. Thank you. This is Pierre's number two question.
Very good.
Provided in the following pages are pictures of God as reproduced from the ABCs of the Bible Reader's Digest. This is somewhat confusing to me. First, that anyone should have seen God while in the physical, and two, that God is human and not a shaft of magnetic light as you describe God to be.
Well, both of them are ridiculous.
Since it is mentioned somewhere in Pleiades Connection series that Aton is too subject to the laws of creation, and elsewhere that the highest form in all the cosmos is the human, then is it reasonable to conclude from this that these pictures are accurate? What do we visualize in meditation? The light of God or Aton himself in full human garb? Were you joking when you said God plays golf?
Yes, and he's very good. Even Arnold Palmer won't take him on. Don't distance yourself from God. That's your problem. You want to visualize something, go look in the confounded mirror, and if you don't like what you see, then you better start shaping it up. Don't worry about visualizing God. God is all around you. He is the tree, the flower, the very air you breathe. Ones have magnificent visions of him as suits them. Great artists try to put this wondrous vision to print. Ones want to make this being into their most respected relative, perhaps grandfather. That's why, you see, it was easier to talk to grandfather for the Indians. Because grandfather usually represents someone mellowed by age, a little softer than daddy, but with all the perfection that a child feels for his father when there's great respect there. And he represents by his laws discipline. I mean, after all, the child has been threatened with hellfire and brimstone if you break those rules. And then the adult goes right forth and votes out those rules so that everything is acceptable, and then you wonder why your children are confused and give you trouble. Well, you're confused, that's why. And they read your confusion probably long before they can speak words to you. They know. And most babies have you under control before they can talk or walk. And gradually, they get you trained to meet their needs. Then comes the period of time where you don't ante. And so they have to do all of their tricks to make you ante. All the while you're struggling and searching and going nuts, bonkers, trying to figure out how to discipline them. So you have a going battle. The last thing you need to do is try to visualize God. Whatever lights your heart is what God is. He will project to you in any form you need. Very frequently we as higher energies, and yet serving a need or a purpose, in making our contacts, we'll contact in a way that we feel is suitable and more easily acceptable to you as you are awakening or you are consciously experiencing that which you know somewhat at any level. Maybe you know you're working all night long, but it's time now, this day, to begin to think about making a conscious encounter. And I can tell the one on myself and Dorma. We go back a long, long way. And that was just shared with me before the meeting comes, that one's in here, Nora mainly, is doing some research back when Aton was called Aton. And one's coming forth, such as Akhenaten, to experience and try to do then what we're trying to do now. And we go back to those rememberings because they are within your written history, and you can look into a journal and find something that gives you confirmation and not just say Valorian experience with Athena, goddess of the peanut field. You have to put logical reason to everything you do because you are experiencing an illusion which is the projected thought of God. And the reason that he's going to give you some specific things is because he has projected you as his thought. And therefore he will project you into his thought as he chooses to do so. And you will receive any way he chooses for you to receive. Now, to make these progressions a little bit easier, we come along and we think, well, I'm going to make contact now, and that one is going to be shocked in the beginning, because for years now, I've had this one doing something else. She didn't even know she was being prepared. And suddenly, here's going to come a 10-foot-tall space creature to her bedside and say, well, how are you today? I should have trusted her. But I was monitoring along, and I recognized that she was being extremely distressed over this pulling of memory. And as we had to come into some working relationship, I presented to her, and it was just fine. I presented as I had been described. You will find that even in Tuita's writings of the Conclave, Hatton gets the most descriptions of anybody. And it never seems to occur to ones why that might be. I have been described as short, stocky, and dark. I have been described as rather tall, blonde, and blue-eyed. I have been described without hair and with hair. And so I thought the one that she had most clung to was the one blue-eyed and blonde-haired. So I came, you know, I was handsome. My gosh, I looked like George Peppard, the A-Team. And she accepted that, sort of. I mean, she put me through my paces. Who are you? What are you here for? All of this. And it got to be tit for tat. And finally, I would have to take her aboard ship to make our meetings, because I needed to experience on your place in that density in my own form to become familiar with this interchange here. And so I would come into her space. But then we were so troubled. You were about to blow up your world, and there were some very high-level meetings going on, and I had to be in attendance. And so I would take her aboard ship, where she was totally at home. She knew everybody aboard. And like all of you women do, I mean, you know, these commanders off titter, titter, titter about everything. Well, then when it got time for me to experience more on the earth plane, she was upset with me. And on two occasions, she refused to return to the earth plane, period. It was too much, and she thought it was bad then. Second time, I told her, okay, you don't have to go, but you just flunked. Just don't worry about any of those people down there. You made a commitment, but if you cannot handle it anymore, I understand. And you certainly don't have to go back. Well, you know what that does. So don't underestimate God. When you think he won't lay a guilt trip on you, forget it. We studied with the Jewish mothers. And so we got through that one until the very next session. And this time was incredibly crucial. I had had to call a meeting. Then I was unable to attend. I was presiding at the Cosmic Council, as a matter of fact. And things were not going well. And we were interchanging, as a matter of fact, with a council meeting in your Yellowstone Park or the Grand Tetons. And I was in and out. And so I had to transport her to the craft where we were holding the meetings and where she could watch the floor through the transparency. And I was caught. So when I met her in what we would call the waiting room or the sitting room, she was absolute blind fury. Let this be a lesson to anyone. Truth will always serve your purpose. She said, I resent it. I am pained that you would do this to me. Did you think me so incapable that I would not know who you are? And, of course, I make my flimsy male excuses by saying, well, but in this role I wasn't sure you would. How do you forget, is what I'm told. And did you think that I would not remember you as 10 feet tall and needed some earthly expression? I almost lost a receiver and scribe. I share this with you because I want you to remember it. Truth suffices in all instances. It can be buffered. I could have stood behind the curtain and said, now, sweetheart, try to remember how it was. And she would have. But my perception was that it would have been frightening. Now she's had to confront something else. She can also remember her own creation. And this was experienced again as a reminder within the last 4 years, closer to three. And the only thing that she can really remember about it is this hand that came around and took her out of the vapors or out of the mist and the incredibleness of it. And you see, it only had four fingers on its hand. And it was a very long hand, and it was a very alien hand, and a very strong hand that she tried searching through the books. You talk about this one looking for God in someone else's vision. All she could find was the hand of God reaching out and touching, and yet it wasn't quite right either. So you ones are in for some interesting surprises, but you have to look around you and know that many of you are directly from Pleiades. You have been attended and tempered so that you fit. So what I offered was not a lie. It was simply one of my presentations. And you ones don't really need physical presentations. You just think you do. And when you start trying to limit God and put guidelines on what you are receiving, oh, you miss the beauty of it. As you look out from time to time, as you're sitting, many of you will experience it right in this room as we're sitting here, or you'll be out on your patio, anywhere. And you will see little sparkly things flying by. And you can't catch them again. And you wonder what they are, and you query me. And up through these years, I will be queried about things. And I'm not talking about little probes that travel, that literally you see. I'm talking about little sparkles of light that just shoot, little fragments. You have to understand that these are the fragments coming now from the photon belt. They're picking up light. They are light. And they will lose their refraction. They will only be visible, and they will usually be visible in the periphery of your eye or your vision pattern. And you will just, they're so rapid that you cannot focus. There's no way. But to you who think sometimes your eyes are giving you stars, for instance, know that you are beginning to see those photons interchanging. It's a delightful time, precious ones. It is an incredible time to be alive, to experience. Let's make the most of it. Let's not be downhearted about anything that happens, regardless of how it appears to you. It's part of the picture. It's either your testing or your graduation for having passed the test. Don't label negative things onto things that happen to you. You can only grow from them, or you can give up. You cannot have a team walking through the most incredible time, reaching out your hand to your brother to help him along when you're not the best there is. And that is a responsibility to live up to. And you take God within any way you can get him and recognize him. Let's have another one.
Number 3 from Pierre. About the only sacred cow you haven't strangled is the history of the NASA, the moon landings, and our current behind-the-scenes look at this organization. Aside from comments about the recent slime mold stuff. Nor have you ever mentioned who is behind the blame it on the alien scenario the elite are planning. Can we have names and addresses, please?
What would you do with them if you had them? Go out and get yourself shot. I mean, he doesn't realize you're down here in the heartland of NASA, whether you know it or not. I wonder how many in this room even know that right over at the glider port, our precious Larry Barrett trains all those astronauts. He has a NASA contract, and he trains all of them to glide those shuttles in from Australia. Little did he understand that that's where they start. But that's okay. You're in NASA land. They just call it something else. And I'm not going to get into all of this, but I have to remind Pierre, he's got to go back and read, because I most certainly have. I have gone in depth into your early space program. In depth. And exactly what happened, and how many of those shuttles you have forfeited, sacrificed, and how you were lied to, how pictures were made and presented to you that were not valid in any way whatsoever. And they still are doing it to this day. this day, to this moment. They are launching almost continually. They are still launching on an average of one a day from Vandenberg, those Titan missiles. There are just some things it's better that I not share with you early on. We'll get around to ripping them. We're going to rip everybody. I worked on Pat Robertson all morning. That man that appears to be an evangelist, a godly man, has a 700 club. Have you ever realized what a small, tiny world it is? Let me share just a little interesting sideline. Before Dorma and Oberle moved to this community, they lived in a place called La Crescenta, which is north of Glendale in La Cunata in the foothills outside L.A. They had a phone number that was only one digit, the final digit, off from Pat Robertson's 700 Club. And every morning, the phone would ring incessantly with ones wanting to make a donation. Little did Dorma know that this morning she would, you know, one day she would have to write the truth about Pat Robertson. He is fully integrated, totally in service to Israeli Mossad. The Israelis furnished the money, caused him to make the bid for United Press International. It is the last link to any kind of free information in the world. They had already taken control, basically, of the press in South Central America, and now this will finish the world. They are the ones who set up the scam, the deceit, and planted the stories along with British intelligence on Flight 103, blamed it on Libyans, so they could bring down Libya. This is directly proven, integrated with Israeli Mossad. And I've written about it. It's a nasty subject. It's a miserable subject. But we have to put it in the Liberator, don't we? If you're going to have liberty, you're going to have to accept the bad news too. I don't know how you shut it down. Obviously, it was meant deliberately. And I don't know if there will be enough pull by the Israeli lobby to insist that that bid be honored. But if so, it will be the end of any free press in your world. Let's have another question. I'm not going to go farther into NASA now.
Number four, Moongate. By Brian Inglis. Do you stand by this information and comments?
I have no comment. I have not even investigated. I don't know about it. I stand by this. You had already moon bases, and the Russians, the Soviets, took them out. The Soviets and Space Command were on the moon when you got there. And you were told never to go there again. I don't know what's in the book. I don't even want to take time to scan it now.
Number five. When can the East Coast expect some action? I feel left out.
Right after the West Coast.
Any major plans for Canadian cities? I can't imagine the elite would want to do away with truly beautiful cities such as Montreal, Melbourne, Australia, or Seattle, Tacoma.
It is hard to believe. And I would prefer simply to do away with the people in them. But they'll take it any way they can get it. you're not dealing with anything that's reasonable. So don't consider that for one moment. They hope you will consider that and close your eyes. They will forfeit and sacrifice anything required. They do not see a city as beautiful. They see a city as a commodity that either gives them a pain in the neck that they must subdue or a value monetarily. They have no appreciation for beauty of anything. Even in the art world, it is simply a thing to possess. A wonderful painting is simply something to possess. That doesn't mean that they don't think that perhaps this is beautiful and that is ugly. It is that they think of all of these things in terms of possession, including people.
Two more questions, not from Pierre. Number one, when we enter the photon belt, will information on magnetic tape disappear?
It shouldn't. You should have a close down of all electrical frequencies first, unless you have electromagnetic equipment of some kind that would be a typical erasure type of substance or device nearby. You shouldn't, if that's all you're doing, you should not lose it. If you want to take better security, it's better to lock these things into metal containers that might reflect, for instance, pulsed beams, microwaves. You are dealing with X-ray. We have to get a little closer. With all the information that we have, I sincerely hope that we don't. You see, when we are in a craft and we create this kind of null activity, your electrical system stops, ours does not. We have a different kind of thrust system. And we operate differently. We have learned to work and utilize that very null time. But I don't think that we will lose everything. If you do, I will tell you, it will be a thrust from Earthman that does it. And he has capabilities now of doing such things. Keep your backups, keep them separate, and keep pretty current with those backup systems.
Number two, will we need a gold testing machine? If so, which one?
Depends on what you're going to do. Most of you, I think that your only worthy recourse is to probably buy jeweler's gold, yes, and that would need testing. If you are purchasing coins, you should get them from a reputable place. If not, I suppose you would need to test them yourself. There are all sorts of devices around to do that. When you start trading them, however, most of them will be traded as currency, not currency, but as coin or weight of gold. If there's any reason to doubt it, you're going to find the ones who take that in are going to insist upon an assay of it, at which point they will have their own equipment. But there are gold testing instruments around. And other than that, I don't know what the intent of the question might be.
That's the end of the questions.
Well, why don't we share some nastiness? We need a little experience with reading anyway. What we really need experience is to seeing through eyelids. You see, first I have to wake her up. You once think she works, don't you? Forget it. But that got her eyes open. Now, to share this, this comes from my old friend, Alicia and Dawn. This one just is so gracious to us that I hardly know how to express my appreciation. The name is Don Barnaby from Sedona, Arizona. We certainly do give him great pains because he is a speaker and he has his groups, and my goodness, he certainly does disagree with what I teach. And he starts right off the bat without even dear friend or anything. He starts quoting me. Number one, if you are God, you have nothing to fear. This from Hatton, page 7, April 21st, 92, Phoenix Liberator. Next, quote, if you aren't scared, then you are dead. Hatton, page 6, April 21st, 92, Phoenix Liberator. And I say, bright dawn, if you don't know the difference in fear and scared, then I can't help you anyway. Which is it, Hatton? Or are we all supposed to be as crazy and double-thinking as you? How the Intergalactic Federation fleet chose you to be the Commander-in-Chief of the Earth Project transition of the Pleiades Sector Flight Command is beyond understanding. Someone who has as volatile and incontinent a mouth, mind, and temperament as you. Boy, if you think there are problems here on Earth, what perfect insanity is demonstrated at the galactic command levels, as shown by your lack of divine balance and equilibrium. Have you ever tried to get your astral and mental bodies under control, much less your spiritual purpose and destiny, mission in focus? Fortunately, there are levels and dimensions far beyond you and your limited understanding. Otherwise, the universe of greater communion of being would be self-destruct. Of course, you will never acknowledge your degree of limitation, not until some future humiliation, perhaps, and or cosmic initiation. And even incompetence, as indeed with arrogance, ignorance, as you, that's a slash. Arrogance, ignorance is the same word he's got. You mix half-truths with lies. You distract and redefine. You exaggerate and pontificate. You mix writing, It's very difficult for anyone to read, especially when the eyelids close again, Dorma. Okay, we'll try again. You mix right-wing reactionary ideologies in your brew, such as Holocaust revisionism, anti-gay and feminist stances. Anyone getting any ideas yet about where this man comes from? Oh, Hatton, shame. If you could only get your act together and truly begin to use discernment and divine detachment from your own ego states, you could perform a genuine and lasting service for this child humanity. As it stands now, you tend to speak in gibberish and hogwash with just a few nuggets of half-truth and higher principle thrown in. I used your own quotes to demonstrate this. You speak double talk. If you are of God, you have nothing to fear. If you aren't scared, then you are dead. And I suppose black is white, good is evil, up is down, freedom is slavery, etc., etc. At least I, this reader, have read George Orwell and am not amused at your totalitarian tactics. It's fun to scare people, isn't it, Hatton? Actually, no, it is not. You really get off on it, don't you? No, I really don't. You don't need sex for your jollies. You get your orgasm dominating and intimidating others. Are you not one of the reptilian order remnants of past cosmic ages who resents that a new universal order is coming and you will no longer be able to feed off the ignorance and fear and false worship of lesser entities? You are a snob, my friend, and your air of Hottian and superciliousness comes through in most all of your rantings and prattlings. You could be performing a most valuable or invaluable service by exposing the dark to light on this planet in strong, straightforward, and intelligible, unembellished manner. Instead, you choose to mix your own darkness and prejudices. As it is, so be it. Instead of fear, give us vision. Instead of hyperbole, truth. Instead of arrogance, sweet humility. Instead of Commander Hate On, you constantly state that Hatton is pronounced Aton, and then you refer to Aton as ultimate God. Well, spell it that way, dum-dum. I can't read this word, but instead of Hatton, I should call myself Love-In or Love-On or something. I can't read it. I've called your bluff, sir. Sire. Oh, I'm sorry. He was giving me more importance than I realized. I speak to the time spirit and true spirit within, the divine child and feminine principle you have frozen out and tried to escape from. Oh, requester, Love-In, I see now what he is doing. Requester must be some important term. Requester Love-In is my name. All right. Don't raise such a ruckus. Don't take yourself so overly serious. You are but a blip in the universe, consciousness, as we all are. Ever fresh and ever new, I am God, and so are you. There we have it. You started this letter with your negative paradox, fear versus no fear, and I conclude it with my positive paradox of being both a blip and God at the same time. If you choose not to understand me, then I surely will not condescend. And are you not always condescending to your readers to attempt to understand you? Elysium Dawn, champion of the One, pioneer of the Real, inspiration of Infinite, way shore to beyond, child of love, way of eternal, ne plus ultra. Okay. P.S. As further demonstration of your unacquaintance with higher realities and dimensions, you continuously refer to the Phoenix Liberator as the Word. Oh, I hope I don't make that error. It is only a source and a carrier of the Word. Those are but words, man. Open to interpretation and error, as are all limiting three-dimensional expressions. The term, maybe, word, name, shield, sound current, music of spheres, logos, voice of the silence, or audible life stream is unspoken, to be discerned at subtler inner levels, and is the term word. Well, something. Not the derivative so-called scriptures and rantings of mankind, including yours. The higher word or logos does instead connect us with the higher planes and is on, I don't know. Anyway, I guess your way to contact with the over-self, God. There's quite a long PS in all directions here. So be it. At the same time came one of the sweetest and the most beautiful, and it reminds me of my little Ryan. Elizabeth's little Ryan. This one is 8 years old. And I'm touched. He has spaceships in his garage. This is one of the Inns children, E and Z, Chalon, Andrew. And he sends me a letter, and he says, "Dear Commander Hatton, every word of it, I wish you would look at it, you ones. As is typical of these seven children, the Innses have seven children. And we have shared this with you before, from the 16 and the 14-year-olds. And this is the 8-year-old. I am Chalon Andrew Innes, and I'm 8 years old. I made this picture just for you. You can come and visit us anytime. Your ship and crew are always welcome at our house. Thank you for helping us get ready for the times ahead. Thank you for helping us to walk in the light. I don't like the dark. With love, Chalon Andrew Innes. Dear Commander, you can park in our garage anytime." I choose to use his input. Now let's see. For you precious ones who did what I asked you to do, and you wrote to a very pained and troubled being, Robert Martyr, I can only apologize to you, tell you that you have made great strides in what you needed to do in this instance. This man was being badly abused within the system, and you ones must begin to curb those things. The man is mentally ill, at least deranged. And many, many, many ones responded to my request and wrote to him, only to receive back incredible abuse. There was a fine newspaper that was going out regularly. They almost had to close their doors and their presses. In fact, did have to restructure their business, and they changed the label of the publication at the same time. So I'm not going to get sidetracked by going into all the whys and wherefores of that. But they allowed this man to begin to run his advertisements. And they were crude, they were cruel, they were vulgar. But everyone has a right to speak out. And in his speaking out, he caused a great deal of ire to be raised, and they came down hard on him. Well, ones in a mental institution should be trained, just like your police department, to serve the people. And if you have a sick being, you do not beat up on that child. you are hired to take care of them, regardless of what they do or what they be. If you cannot handle that load and that responsibility, and the politicians do not ensure that that be done, then you need to be elsewhere, and it needs to be brought to the attention of the community. But this has gone on now for weeks and weeks and weeks, and each time one of these papers comes, it is even more filled. Instead of one ad or two ads, there will be five ads or six ads. And other ones have got into the act, and they want their own particular case exposed. The ones in there with him.
Commander?
Yes.
We need to change the tape, please. Thank you.